Okay, let's rock.
Hello, and welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. This is episode number 140 for July 10th, 2008. podcasts. Wow. That's like a week of PC gaming news, interviews, and witty repartee. Is that right? 140? That's a lot of hours.
Sure.
But as all of our regular listeners know, all podcasts are not created equal. Some podcasts are more special than others, and this is one of the very, very special ones. Because today I'm joined not only by Editor-in-Chief Kristen Salvatore.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Senior Associate Editor Dan Stapleton.
I'm way at the bottom.
Podcast Producer Andy Bellman.
Hey, I'm in the middle.
And former intern Andy.
I don't have to designate myself, I just rock.
But also by the brand newest member of the PC Gamer staff. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to introduce you to PC Gamer's newest editor, Evan Lottie.
Hey guys!
Hey.
Hello.
Say hi to everybody, Evan.
Hello, ahoy, internet.
Evan just moved out to the Bay Area.
Hi, Evan.
To join the staff of PC Gamer. Evan, have you checked out the cool blood red sunrises yet?
Not quite. I haven't had that pleasure. Nope.
It's been all nudie bars and late nights, I guess, so far.
Yeah, pretty much. I was at a CDV event yesterday, so. That's how that went, yeah.
You know, Logan, I haven't checked out the Blood Red sunrises because I don't get up before the sun rises.
So, well, okay, the sunrises are in fact blood red because the whole of California is on fire, which is a little weird.
I feel like this is where I should take a moment to say that we had nothing to do with that.
No, not a thing. I don't even smoke anymore, so come on. It's really weird.
Green Northwestern Washington, so I'm going to keep my hands off that one.
Yeah, it's very odd. When the sun gets up, it's all like orange and red and looks really angry.
All your smoke is traveled over to my valley here, and now when I look over the valley, it's just pure smoke.
Take that, Utah.
So thanks a lot, dude.
So Evan, you are also a game critic for the Chicago Daily Herald. Now, here at Future, everybody plays games. Everybody. Even the ladies over pregnancy play games. What about at the Daily Herald? Did you find that people... Did they, like, get the idea that you can actually critique a game like you would a play or a movie or a song? Or did they think it was just some cute column for the young'uns?
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of younger people there, luckily. So there was a bit of a crossover. And their editor was a big gamer, a big WoW player and whatnot. So that was almost like an in for me. But, you know, yeah, the bulk of the staff definitely was sort of the old school news print folks, so there was some of that for sure. And I'd always have to, like, after a couple of months when I started there, I'd look up all the screenshots myself and captions and stuff because they didn't really understand context of most games and stuff. So
yeah.
So it's refreshing to be among my peers, I guess.
People on a daily newspaper staff have time to play games at all? And that is a harsh deadline. They're all
for sure.
Yeah.
And I worked at a weekly for a little while, and that was bad enough.
I don't know. I mean, that was pretty much my dedicated work. So.
Well, see, yeah, for you, that, for you that's easy, but for them, you know, they've got a million other things.
Mm-hmm.
See how great it is to work here at PC Gamer on a monthly deadline? Beatings will continue until morale improves.
Yes. Hey, by the way, Evan, do you ever play Scrabble?
I do. I enjoy it.
Oh, good. Because I remember back when I was looking at your resume a while back and thinking, there's something about that name. And all Scrabble players know what I'm talking about here. You develop a kind of sixth sense about these things. You know, you look at the letters. So I plugged your name into the official anagram server of the internet and found out that Evan Lottie is an acronym for Leviathan.
Holy smokes.
Okay. So the question I'd like to pose to you is this, Evan Lottie, is if that is indeed your real name, are you or are you not a biblical sea monster?
By night, for sure. But on a different note, that sounds like my new call sign, my new tag right there. I like it.
Yeah, I thought that was it certainly struck me, you could say, you know.
Well, have you heard what Logan's anagram is?
Oh.
Logan's is good.
Are we ready? Are we ready?
Curious.
Logan Decker, a rock legend.
Yes!
Let's talk about the awesomeness of Ride to Hell.
Best game ever. I've never even seen, there aren't even screenshots yet. All I've seen is the logo, and it's already the best game ever.
All you need to do is look at the logo and know that this is a game based on the whole 60s biker thing. And what more do you want? It was reported.
Hopefully not much, because that's all we know.
Exactly. It's by a developer called Deep Silver. Anybody hear of them ever?
No.
Wait a minute. Let me look them up. I might have heard of them. Carry on, though.
And, it's going to be, it's going to have the whole Easy Rider thing going on. Biker gangs, drinking, being on the road, hippie music.
Hippie
music. Yeah.
Is this or is this not the first biker game since, like, Full Throttle?
It has to be. I guess you could say Interstate 76.
I was going to say, going on.
But, you know, it was so action-oriented that you didn't... I mean, it had the music, which was cool.
Wait, Deep Silver is a publisher. Are they developing it as well?
Ooh. I think that they are developing it.
Okay, because they have published or co-published... Anno 1701, City Life, Gothic 3, Earth 2160. They may be a European publisher, larger though.
They like the numbers. They like the names with numbers in them. Listen, all I know is I really hope that this pans out because I'm, in addition to the fact that it just sounds kitschy and quirky and fun, I'm thrilled by the fact that they're doing something different. It's
yeah,
a new
absolutely.
Setting. It's a new idea. I love it.
It's an open world GTA style game, right?
That's
you know, I don't know. Man. Yeah, yes, it's a free roaming world. Yes, that right, is correct. Yeah. That is correct, sir.
Those are generally fun. I mean, as long as they're well implemented. I mean, there have been some bad ones. And was it the True Crime New York ones that did not fare well at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, even their logo kind of mirrors GTA with the character collage thing they have going on there. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking like this is Faster Pussycat, the game. You know? Kill, kill, kill.
That was so fantastic.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sorry, guys, but high expectations already.
Don't
and
disappoint.
Unfortunately, it's not set to be released until, and this, it pains me to say it, next year. Ooh. The second quarter of next year. What am I going to do until then?
Get a motorcycle.
Just right.
Watch a lot of Russ Meyer movies.
Back to back. Over and over again. No, I did have a motorcycle. I got my license, and I had a motorcycle for 3 days, and I realized I was going to die. And I put it in the garage, and I sold it in 3 weeks. Any other motorcycle riders here?
I have my motorcycle license, although I don't ride anymore.
I loved it. I loved riding my motorcycle, but
yeah,
I had like... something like 6 near-death experiences
in three days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
San Francisco, you know? It's like, it's not an easy place to ride.
I'm a pretty somewhat aggressive driver in a car, but I was a very defensive driver on my bike because people just can't see you. I mean, you just have to assume that they can't see you.
And people
which is a really hard
those,
way to...
those California stops, you know, where they roll instead of stopping at a right turn. And I had so many close calls and in a rare moment of... common sense. I'm like, this has to go. Yeah. So this is as close as I'm going to get. Ride to Hell.
Yeah.
Great name, by the way.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, plus you get to shoot shotguns often, probably, and things like that. So.
Which I would never have gotten to do.
Exactly.
Which is frowned upon on the streets of San Francisco.
I've heard.
Yeah, you can do all of those things in GTA.
But it's not in the 60s.
Yeah. It's
play some MP3s in the background.
Good play.
Home cooking with Dan Stapleton.
Right.
play incense and peppermints in the background, and there you go.
Well, I
a little strawberry alarm clock. I like it.
I've heard of those things.
So I'd imagine that Ride to Hell is probably not going to go over all that well in Australia. Because
is that because of the drug use slogan?
Yeah, I would think that there would be maybe a smattering of drug use involved in the game. And, well, they've already banned Fallout 3 for the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, Fallout 3 has you know, you can use, I guess, morphine to, I'm trying to remember. I think
do you remember Jet?
Strength.
Do you remember Jet from
oh, yeah,
Fallout 2?
Jet is back in Fallout 3.
Okay, so yeah, that's probably one of the things, too.
Yeah, there's Jet, there's morphine. I'm not sure if there are other fictional drugs. There's
so far, we've got a fictional drug and a prescription one.
Right, which you are using without a prescription. No, nobody, and there are no doctors in Fallout 3. Well, I guess there are doctors, but they don't prescribe you anything. You can pick this up off of dead raiders. So that doesn't count as a prescription. Although it would be awesome if it did. there are mentats, which increase your intellect. Psycho, which increases your combat abilities. But I think morphine is the only like real world drug. There's also stim packs that restore your health, and anti radiation drugs. But I think it's probably just the morphine that the Aussies are upset about.
So I have a question. I mean, for me, I would be more concerned with the imagery, like injecting and whatnot. That's sort of the more, offensive stuff, potentially. Did they ban BioShock?
No, nope,
I doubt it.
I guess they weren't, name brand drugs, but it's right there in front of you. But
right.
Yeah, and you're sticking the needle into your arm. Yeah.
Shooting lightning.
Is there a particular... Does anybody, like... Is this because, is there like a particularly bad drug scene in Australia? Like why? It just seems such a strange.
Yeah, such overkill,
They are a little bit censor happy in Australia. I mean, they do have some pretty strong laws over there, which, I'm kind of grateful that we haven't gotten there yet in this country.
Oh. Evan, you were on to something with the BioShock reference in the GamePolitics.com article, which is where we read about this.
Uh-huh.
In an online posting, one gamer asked, what are the syringes in BioShock filled with? Magic fairy dust? Was that you?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's not actually drugs you're injecting in BioShock. And it seems to be like the concept or the actual presence of a real world drug that's like something that's
right.
That you could emulate in theory. You could emulate the use of heroin. You can't emulate the use of morphine, but you can't emulate the use of shooting lightning out of your injecting something in your arm to shoot lightning.
I know they censored GTA 4, but I don't. Did they ban it?
I'm not sure.
There was some censorship with regard to. Because it's not on a PC, we don't know.
Yeah, right.
I do
see in the Game Politics article, sorry to interrupt, Andy,
yeah,
that's
cool.
One of the problems may be that their rating system for scales, this is on the GamePolitics.com article, don't scale beyond 15 years old. They don't
right,
have an 18-plus rating, so that's an
that's
issue
right.
over there, which is most unfortunate.
Right, but I mean, like, it's not just that they don't have the rating system; it's that the government can actually ban a game, which they can't do here. So that's a bit of a difference.
Well, they can't outright ban a game, but they certainly use the existing rating system to effectively, like, when you're giving a game an AO, you're effectively banning it. Because
the government
not...
has nothing to do with it. That's a voluntary system, and it's the retailers that choose not to carry those games. It's the government has nothing to do with that. So, but whereas in Australia, the government is actually saying you cannot sell this game.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a technical difference, but an important one. It is government censoring.
Certainly every country can be this criticism could be applied to, but it just seems like, there's also killing in games. There's also all kinds of mayhem and, like, come on, people, it is. Fantasy, it is make believe, and even the idea that the scurrilous use of morphine for pain killing purposes within a game in a fantasy setting is certainly no more obnoxious than cutting off somebody's head.
I know. And in addition to that, I mean, if there's any context that I would opt to take drugs, it'd probably be post-apocalyptic end of the world.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You really do kind of need to lighten up under those circumstances.
Yeah, pretty depressing. I need some...
Where's mom? Where's dad? Where's little sister? Oh, they're all dead. You know, yeah, you're going to...
I guess I shouldn't take this morphine.
Now, I think I would be very surprised if Bethesda doesn't come out with an Australian version where they just change like morphine or whatever offending drugs to...
More steam.
Chiclets.
Yeah.
You just shake them in your mouth. Chew, chew, chew. You know.
Ooh, I mean, they don't seem to have a problem with the concept of you know plasmids and BioShock or you know health packs and or power ups in other games. So you just rename it to something that doesn't have the same name as a real world drug.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Someone should make the case, someone at Bethesda maybe, that, you know, if you do these drugs in Fallout, it has like a consequence to your character. And it's like an educational thing. So when you get addicted to Jet in Fallout, you're screwed, man. And they, you know, the Australian could use that
Andy
as a learning tool.
Children, listen to him.
Yeah, your character is so done if you get addicted.
Listen to your Uncle Andy.
Say no.
Say, don't do Jet, kids.
He's been down that road,
and you have to go menu new game.
It's pretty cool that some of the stuff they've got in Fallout 3 though with the use of the drugs and things to enhance your character, like drinking alcohol. Like in the first two games, it didn't really do anything. It just lowered your perception. In this, it will increase your strength slightly, so you can carry a little bit more. And I think it also increases like your charisma. But you can get addicted to alcohol.
It increases the chance that you're going to wake up the next morning and go, ah, shit.
Yeah,
have
Dan.
We met?
Yeah, Dan, a question about that. Are like the gameplay effects of the drugs or alcohol sort of illustrated with animations, or is it like a menu thing where you just point and click?
It's all in menu. There's no arm like there is in BioShock. There's nothing like that. It's much like in Oblivion where you know you just go into the menu, click I want to use this, and you've used it.
There's no mini game. There's no spoon cook mini game.
Oh God! They're gonna ban our podcast.
Oh, no.
Has anyone else ever caught a drunk person on the way down, like falling? Like they're heavy. Like their weight like triples. Their mass increases by like exponentially.
Logan, we don't hang out with your fat friends.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's like
no.
They're not.
No, it's true.
They don't have human weight. It's like
dead
more.
Weight is much. It's, yeah, it's the same thing with carrying a sleeping person.
It's like
which I frequently do.
Yeah. Whoa.
Hi. So moving on.
How are we going to segue to that?
Well, you know, Bethesda is not the only ones having a run-in with the law these days. Apparently, Jack Thompson, his sad decline into nobodiness is continuing.
Okay, we have an agreement. 45 seconds begins now.
It's just a quick update. The judge that held his disbarment hearing is now recommending a permanent disbarment, which is even better than the enhanced disbarment for 10 years they were recommending before.
Disbarment. I'll never get tired of hearing that enhanced disbarment.
So that's the only really update we wanted to give. He's not disbarred yet, but he will be eventually. I mean, there's pretty much no doubt now. It's just the Florida Supreme Court has to say you're disbarred, and it's done.
See ya, Jack. Oh, totally call us. Well, maybe we should get the guy who voices Duke Nukem to give Jack a call.
How exciting is this?
Okay, yeah. Explain this, because this sounds amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For $50. All right. $50 is, you know, hey, what is it? You can pool some five friends together, $10 each.
I'm in for 10.
You will record something, 30 seconds of something, anything you want in any audio format that you want. The... Duke Nukem, he will do it for you.
He's going to make
$50.
So much money.
Yeah. How do you get in touch with him? Is anybody?
I'm looking into that right now. Right.
Honestly, I mean,
right now.
I think you guys should have him do. I think you guys should have him do the answering machine thing for the podcast call in. That would be so cool.
We were going to see about maybe having him do that. I don't want to promise anything, but yeah, we'll look into it.
I have to wonder though what the legality of that is. I mean, does he have to? I mean, he doesn't own the rights to the character. So I don't know. I don't know what how that works exactly.
I don't know.
Probably just speaks in a gruff voice. I mean, the James Earl Jones did the same thing for years, where he would
But
he donated money for charity. He would talk in his voice, which is very Darth Vader-y.
I mean, he wasn't doing it as Darth Vader, though.
Well, no, but this guy doesn't have to do it as Duke Nukem. He'll just use, you know, the voice, because that is his voice, you know?
Honestly, this has got to be a great revenue stream for him. If you've ever been to, like, a Comic-Con panel or anything, so many, like, the questions from the audience are like, oh, say this in a funny voice, or, you know, can you do this quote, or it's... There's a...
Say my name! Say my name!
Yeah, exactly. Like, over the last week, there's some video of David Hayter that Kotaku posted at a panel he was at. It was more about his relationship with Kojima and whatnot, but just like 20 or, you know, like half the questions almost were focused on like just novelties, like trying to get David to say, you know, something for their answering machine for free and stuff. And it's just a total waste of time for the people that are there. But hopefully this guy will make a profit off it.
I just found his website.
David Hayter is the guy that does the voice for Solid Snake and Metal Gear, right?
Yes, yeah. And he's written X-Men 1 and 2. He's a screenwriter more so, but yep.
Where was he for X-Men 3? They needed him so bad for X-Men 3.
Yeah. What happened there?
Screw you, Brett Ratner.
Well, so you found the site, Christian?
I found the site. It's jsjprod.com, but you have to go there and hear the music.
Oh dear.
It's just, everybody go there right now. JSJ Prod, P-R-O-D, like shortened for productions.
Yeah.
This guy seriously has a theme song?
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
It's John.
Oh my God. This is fantastic.
All right. Well, we'll look into.
Wow.
Oh, there it is. That's...
We'll just have that go low over the next couple minutes.
This music is not intended to promote drug use. I just want to put that out there right now.
Oh, shoot. Look, we've been banned in Australia.
It may be the end result. Drug use may be the end result of listening to that music.
I am at a total loss for a segue after that one. Good old games. Hey, who doesn't like classic games? Everybody likes classic games. And if you don't, well... You know what? The games you like today will be classic in 10 years. So in a sense, you do like classic games. A new website will launch soon. I thought that was all right. I thought that was
pretty good.
GOG.com is goodoldgames.com. GOG.com is launching that will be distributing classic games with no DRM whatsoever. So you can go back and play all the classics, you know, Sacrifice, Fallout 2, Colin McRae Rally 2005, or 1, and they've got an incredible roster of games already. And you buy it, and it's yours. No DRM, no funny business, no activation, no am I connected to the internet. It looks like it is a really great service, especially because every single game that they're going to be selling is going to be Vista and XP compatible. Mm. You know, I love old games to the point where I will put up with an incredible amount of tweaking to get them to run, but it is a nightmare. Using DOSBox can be a total nightmare. Getting compatibility to work with XP can be really ugly. So this is awesome.
Well, I mean, a lot of these games will come with a DOSBox wrapper, I believe. But you don't have to configure it.
You don't have to do it. Yeah. So that's if it doesn't work right, man, you can spend hours trying to get all the settings done. So that is a huge service, which I'd be more than happy to pay for, even for games that I still own, you know, because I have a lot of the original boxes.
Fallout 1 and 2, I have tested and they do work on Vista. So you don't need any. If you still have those buried somewhere, you can dig those out and play them without having to buy this. But if you don't have them somewhere, you should buy these and play them because they're awesome.
Did we talk about how much they're selling these games
prices
for?
Are going for $5.99
to $9.99. I signed up for the beta. I'm really curious to see how this works out.
Yeah. Another great thing is like if you were to buy a classic game on eBay or something like that, obviously you're not going to get support for it. GOG.com does offer support for purchased games.
I wonder how
That's so cool.
I wonder what level of support they can really offer, though. I mean, they're not developed.
Well, just, you know, if it's not, you know, tweaking DOSBox with certain systems, that kind of thing. Because DOSBox really does work really well, and if you're really familiar with the system, there's basically, it's one of those things like there's five major problems that solve, five solutions for 95% of the problems, that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, and they can walk people through that kind of thing. Plus, they're going to offer add-ons that will be exclusive to the site, I understand. That includes walkthroughs, guides, MP3 soundtracks, wallpapers, map editors, all kinds of stuff. And I can easily imagine myself buying tons of games from the service, even though I already own them, because it sounds like they're adding just tons of cool stuff.
And this sort of speaks to this like weird old school, because I don't do this. I don't feel the need to have CDs anymore. Like, I'm perfectly happy to just own things on MP3. But when it comes to games, I actually still like to have the box and stuff, like especially older games. Like, I get really excited, like when I managed to get my hands on a copy of Fallout 2 last year. Like, I was really excited that I managed to get it with the original box and stuff. So that would be the only thing. I mean, I still think it's totally worth it, but that would be the only thing that bummed me out a little bit, is that you don't get the...
Yeah, especially because older games had such great packaging sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, they came with, you know, I opened up a box that when I started to play Ultima again, oh man, you know, it comes with a cloth map and, you know, giant manual, you know, it was just fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when I buy a game, the first thing I want to do is read a giant manual.
I did. I loved doing that. I loved going through the manual and reading all the backstory, you know, as the game was installing and all that.
Listen, there's a reason people still buy collector's editions of games, you know.
I don't know. I'm still of the opinion that if you need a manual for a game, the game isn't that well designed.
That's interesting.
Plus, I can't read.
And I want to be able to jump into a game, start playing without having to read a manual. That's just
I agree with you on that.
You don't want to play alone.
I don't want to have to.
It's still fun too, though. Like, I know with a lot of games that I play, they're all pretty fantasy based. I really like to read about the lore. Like, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in the world, and I think that might be something Logan's touching on.
Shouldn't the lore be imparted to you by the game itself, and like through playing the game and getting that story?
Yeah, well, not always. The Warcraft universe is really, really expansive, and sure, you get a lot of it in-game, but there's still those little things like you want to read about, like the Titans and Ancients and stuff that you only really touch on a little bit. But, you know, I guess at the same time, all that's available online. So.
Geeks.
Alone in the Dark. its manual has 2.5 pages of just a giant list for all the controls, including... Select and switch wound, close eyes, quick turn, run, reload, take item, shimmy, climb up, drop,
grab rope. Did you say switch wound?
Switch wounds.
Close eyes?
To heal yourself, you have to use select among your wounds, which one you want to heal. Makes no difference in the game. Wall run, move around with rope, move around with cable, get in car, accelerate, brake, eject from car, switch headlights on, off, handbrake, honk, use element, hot wire, change wires, throw, hot wire while throwing bottle. shoot at bottle. A gun must be equipped.
This only goes on for 2.5 pages, though, right? We don't have to listen to like. Okay.
It's stunning.
When really the only one they needed was off.
Yes.
Close eyes.
Alt F4.
I was going to say though about lore. I think Diablo 3 is doing a great job on their website, just kind of, you know, doing it steps at a time and in increments. You got Deckard Cain's journal there. You can read the pages, kind of virtually turn them and stuff. And it's cute. I'd like to see other games kind of reproduce things that way for sure.
Yeah,
that's a really big thing for them this time around, as they're, you know, they're talking about, which is kind of funny because there are a number of people, myself included, who didn't think, you know, that the Diablo games weren't exactly known for their like deep story, but there is, you know, there is a lore that goes with them. And so when I was talking to the lead designer, he was saying that's they're really trying to beef that up this time around, flesh
and
it out.
Actually integrate it into the game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, not just stuff that you go to their website and read, but actually have a story in the game that I like. You know, when you watch Star Wars, you know, you get all that lore imparted to you by watching the movie, you know, and other stuff that's on the side, you know, that's extra that you can go and see if you want, but there's stuff that's given to you by the actual thing that you're enjoying. Like the main attraction.
Although I guess it's sort of, it's funny because when I was having the conversation with Jay, the lead designer, he and Brian, the lead art director, were like going on and on about like the story and how excited and how they really wanted to like bring forth the story from The Last Diablo. And I had this sort of moment where I kind of stopped and thought, there was a story in The Last Diablo.
I mean,
but the truth of the matter is, for people who really have like played that game a lot, like there, you know, I don't mean to imply that there wasn't any story, but
devil bad, feel devil.
I mean, it's basically you walk up to a character and there's scrolling text and there's a voiceover with it, and the voiceover is good. Yeah. I mean, they've always had good voiceover work, but yeah, you're basically just sitting there.
That's interesting. Getting back to GOG.com here, is they have Fallout Tactics on here, which is a Windows game. We wanted to put the demo for that on the disc for our Fallout issue that's coming out, but couldn't get that demo working on Windows XP. So I wonder how they did that, because that's not going to be a DOSBox.
I've actually been talking with somebody from this site, and they said they've been working on these things for a long time, and yeah, so it's not easy. It's a lot of tinkering under the hood, from what I understand. And I'm looking at MDK Rock.
Amazing.
Oh, man.
Rock.
So check it out. Go to GOG.com. You can sign up for more information, as well as a chance to enter the closed beta, which I'm sure is going to be very, very cool. And rest assured, we are going to be checking this out in depth, and we'll report back to you later on the podcast, on the web, and in print.
I just like to say really quick that it's cool that Crisis Warhead is going to be priced at $29.99. That
yeah, and kind of surprising. Yeah. Although I wonder if that speaks to the length of the game. We're not sure how long it is. Maybe it won't be as long as the first one.
Anyone check out the new Mirror's Edge trailer? I'm kind of afraid.
I did. I actually saw it.
I did too.
I saw it at their pre-E3 event a couple weeks ago. It truly is a trailer. It's not gameplay. It's this sort of like cel-shaded.
It's animated.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Does it make you want to throw up?
No.
No, it didn't make me want to throw up, okay, but because it's not gameplay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
great.
It's like an actual trailer.
Then I will definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's neat.
Because I remember I watched it. I watched some of the gameplay stuff on the big LCD, and I was like, oh.
Barfy, right. We don't have a ton of time to talk about this, but I was one who added that to the list of stuff to talk about today, because the more I think about it, the more I really just want to give props to EA for trying something new with that game.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really
cool. There's a lot of cool new stuff lately.
EA, you know what? PC gamers need to give them, like the biggity uppity. They were releasing a lot of PC games. They have a huge stable of games they're showing at E3 next week, and quite a few of them are PC games, more than I've seen coming out of any large publisher. But it's really exciting to see them do something different, like Mirror's Edge for the PC.
Yeah.
So many thanks.
EA, we love you. Hugs, kisses.
Mostly hugs.
Mostly hugs. Yeah, that's right. Don't hold back. Come on. It's the Bay Area. You know, we get crazy.
Since last week, we were talking about Diablo 3. And in the comments, a lot of people have been talking about the petitions and all that stuff. So there's been a couple of good discussions going on about it, and I think this one is a pretty good question about it, so here we go.
Okay.
Hi, this is Rob, a.k.a. Renus. Hey, just wanted to leave a comment about the last podcast about the Diablo 3 online petition. After watching the gameplay video, I ran out and bought Diablo 2. I haven't played any of the Diablo games and thought I better give it a chance since Diablo 3 looks like a ton of fun. Anyways, just wanted to say that the online petition seemed like a joke at first, but after doing a little research on it and seeing a screenshot example of what the fans want the game to look like, you know, I got to go with the fans on this one. The original screenshot from Blizzard does look a tad on the cartoonish side, kind of like WoW, which isn't a problem, but you know, looking at that new screenshot, the way the fans want it, I got to say, it does look cooler. Anyways, keep up the good work, and love the podcast, love the mag.
Well, if you look at the screenshot and you're not happy with it and you start making noise, and if enough people make noise, I guarantee you, Blizzard will hear you.
Well,
I just... The game's not done yet!
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I
mean,
I mean,
you know, the developers do listen, you know, so... I'm sorry, Evan, you were saying something?
Yeah, I mean, what Kristen was emphasizing, like, they've shown essentially two environments, you know, sections of those environments. I mean, there could be a whole spectrum of different, you know, light settings and opportunities for the, you know, for the little light halos that people are kind of petitioning for to fit in there. So, I mean, just people are so reactionary about that stuff, and I know it's dear to their hearts, and it's really important to them, and you know, they should be free to express that, but at the same time, like, just be realistic.
Calm yourselves a little. Like, somebody in the podcast thread for last week posted something, like a comparison between, like, an original, or like the first batch of StarCraft II assets that came out, like screenshots, versus what you see now. And the colors have been muted a little bit. They're, you know, it's a little bit grittier. Like, the first glimpse you see of these games is not what it's going to end up looking like. You know, it's somewhat representative, but there's still changes that get made. So to throw a fit right now is premature.
What troubles me about it, and I actually wrote that, I just wrote a comment in the last week's podcast comments just before this, and because I got a bunch of emails from people who were upset that we had been so dismissive and called them whiners, and that, you know, I'll agree, that wasn't very polite. But what bothers me about it is that I feel like the PC gaming community already has a reputation for being reactionary, and for being backbiting within itself. And I really feel like you're talking about an incredibly well-respected developer working on an incredibly well-respected franchise. And frankly, these guys have demonstrated over and over again that they know what they're doing. So the idea that they shouldn't be given at least the respect of, like, seeing what they come up with next really kind of gets my goat. So that's actually what I was reacting to. So I'm not saying don't speak your mind, but the idea that people have gotten so up in arms about, oh, it's going to be terrible, and it's going to be just like, wow, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. We don't know really what it's going to be yet. We know 10 minutes of gameplay that they introduced by saying this could all change. So
I was surprised to find out that they were doing that crossover with the cute Link guy from Zelda. So I can see that people might think that, yeah, that's a little weird. But, you know, they should go in different ways and try new things. And I think it's an interesting crossover. People, that was a joke. Please, please don't say the mean things on the forums. Please, please.
I wasn't so much ridiculing them for, you know, speaking their minds. But I just think that online petitions are hilarious because they never, ever accomplish anything.
Do you make
you feel good?
You know what? Actually, before the next question, I need a hater minute.
Hater minute!
I need to retract something I said in a couple podcasts ago. I'm really... We had been talking about a three strikes law for copyright infringement, and I had said at the time that I think that that's pretty generous. I was wrong. This is what happens every time you agree with people who are on that side of the copyright fight. You always get smacked in the back of the head. What this is really about, the French law, what it's really about is that you get your internet connection cut off after three accusations of copyright infringement. Not being caught, just being fingered by their equivalent of the RIAA or the MPAA is all you need, because the entertainment companies are saying it's too difficult to prove copyright infringement. Boo.
So why even try, right?
Yeah, so they're saying that that's why they want this three strikes. Well, if you've been accused three times, well, surely you're guilty. What the?
It sounds more like a three technical fouls and you're out.
Yeah, so that's in, and now they're looking at it in Australia. They're looking at this at the same policy in the UK. It is complete madness, and I retract any support that I gave to that. And I can't believe that, you know, I actually thought that these associations, you know, had a reasonable, you know, sort of policy for once.
And I'd just like to take a moment to accuse Logan of copyright infringement.
But wait,
well, that's one.
Logan, just two more to go, Logan.
No,
it's like Beetlejuice.
It's like Beetlejuice. Wow.
Let's take another question.
Hi guys, Chris from Portland here. Question is about copy protection on games. When I used to buy games at the store, the jewel case or the manual would always have a CD hash key that I would have to input before I would be able to either install the game, or in some cases install it, and then be able to play the game. And I'm wondering, with all the talk about these revalidations of your game every 5 days or some such nonsense, what the issue is of just simply not having a CD key to put in that's unique to that game. And if you lose the game, well, then you're out of luck and you have to buy a new game. Or is there some way that people know how to hack into the computer to get the number, so it's really kind of a worthless way of protecting games from being copied? Appreciate it. Love to see the podcast. Take care. Bye.
You know, that's a fantastic question.
It is.
And Dan was asking that just recently, and I didn't know.
This is a different question. He's asking, was that not strong enough? Is that why they're doing the online activation?
Oh, okay.
And the answer is, yeah, they feel like that copy protection is not adequate to protect their games because the pirate community has figured out how to get around that pretty easily and, you know, can very quickly hack that out of a game and get it online so other people can download and play it without paying. So I think they're wrong, for one thing. I think that most games, even the ones that have stronger copy protection, are pirated pretty quickly. And generally, if people are willing to go online and download the crack to get around the CD check and the install key, they're willing to download whatever it takes to get around it. So
yeah,
it's a futile effort on their part. But the question I had for Logan, which was for games that do not have an online component, and this is, you know, going back before online activation, but games without an online component, why did they even need that key to install? Because I mean, you've already got the disk check. What else is that adding? What extra layer of protection is that?
I completely stumped by that one. I was like, well, naturally they, I thought, well, surely there must be an obvious, and I just couldn't think of it.
Right.
So anybody out there, if you know, let us know.
Games with an online component, it makes sense because you go online.
Absolutely.
And play against other people. But even so, if you can't do it without the CD and the drive, I don't really see how that makes a difference. You know,
let me tell you, I enter those keys constantly. I have to do it every time I benchmark a new card, and then I have to do it again when I switch operating systems and benchmark under the different operating system, and then when I swap cards. Oh, man. And sometimes they're case sensitive, sometimes they're not. And then sometimes if you enter one letter wrong, it wipes out the whole thing.
Yeah. No, I was installing a bunch of Sims games and expansions for my girlfriend the other day, and there were, like, I think I installed 8 expansions. I had to put in a key for each one.
Oh, Lord.
You're like a data entry clerk.
I mean, maybe this is a little bizarre, but, like, wouldn't it be nice if, like, biometrics were somehow integrated to that? Like, you're at Best Buy or something, you scan... You know, they scan the game, you put down your fingerprint, your thumbprint, you come back home, you have a USB one hooked up, it, you know, matches with it. I don't know if that would be viable, you know, 5 or 10 years, but...
Well, the problem with that
scary.
Is what I would do in that instance would
He'd put
be
his butt
to,
on it.
To cut off your thumb, and then I would take it with me, and then, you know, swipe it online. Yeah.
And there's
I guess the problem with that is actually tying that information to the copy of the game that you have, which is on a DVD, and thus, you know, you can't write new information to it, so you can't basically tie that information to your copy of the game.
Sure,
but, you know, it's all, you know, screwed up.
Plus, there's always the risk that you'll get knocked out and somebody will drag your arm over to a panel like in all those action movies.
You know, they there is a biometric sensor out there that senses warmth because they're afraid. I forget what it was
like
for, but they're afraid that somebody... Exactly. So they're afraid if the thing is severed.
How could you get around that?
Yeah,
that's the thing. And so that's why I was reading in the article, they said that they had already cracked it because they figured out that all you had to do was imprint it into, like, you know, Jello. And warm up the Jello, and then
or just put it on your put a pad on your finger,
something like that,
or just throw a severed thumb in the microwave for 30
but
seconds.
I think what they had done.
If you don't cover it in saran wrap, it checks
for circulation now. So they had wrapped it up, and then now it's really intense, and
it has to check for a pulse and everything.
Right? Breathe some hot air on it.
Squeeze the base of the severed thumb over and over again to try to, you know, simulate.
Anyway.
Don't try that at home, please. Not with your little sister or anything like that.
But maybe in an adventure game, though.
This guy's question reminds me of a time where I actually, when I was a little kid, maybe like 15 or something, like I actually spoofed a CD key just by like guessing the numbers off of like a different CD key. No, I felt so cool. I felt so badass, like hacker.
Wow.
No, that worked with Quake 3. If you just put in your CD key backwards, it would still work.
Oh, really?
So I was able to install it on a friend's machine.
Nice.
And probably the coolest weekend ever.
Yeah, which would be like so elite. You're like, oh yeah.
I know. I was like, I'm a hacker.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the statute of limitations is on that, but we got you on record now.
Yeah, we can accuse you of
prison.
Yeah, we can accuse him of copyright infringement.
Oh crap!
Two more.
Only two more left.
We've come to the end of another fantastic podcast, and now it's your turn. Okay.
Do I do that in real life?
Yes.
Hey, you're stupid. I mean, what I don't want to. Hey, what's up?
So, Evan, I know that you have been apartment hunting here in the Bay Area.
Yes.
Shocking prices, are they not? Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
So, but have you had any time for games? What have you been playing lately?
Yeah, I brought my Alienware laptop with me, luckily, and in my hotel, I got a chance to play some TF2, and I'm in the middle of just replaying all the Quakes in order, so I'm still on the first one, but that's what I'm working on, I guess. It's good.
What's your class of choice in TF2?
You know, I like Soldier because it's just so versatile. I can transition between defense and offense. I can, you know, get up high and shoot down. It works out for me.
Well, the long weeks of horror of the Alone in the Dark are past me now, and I'm very, very grateful for that. You will find my ebullient review in the October issue of PC Gamer. Whew.
Sorry, Phil Harrison. Sorry, buddy.
I'm just glad it's over. That's all I have to say. And And now I'm back to finishing Assassin's Creed. Still, yes, I know it's taking me forever. And then, hey, who knows what's next for me? Andy Salisbury, what have you been up to lately?
I have, of course, been playing World of Warcraft. I've gotten back into it. I've kind of took a break for a couple weeks, so it's been nice to jump back into it. And,
did your guildmates declare you legally dead?
they were all so concerned. They were like, dude, he hasn't been on for like 2 days. Is that even like living anymore?
Somebody must have cut off his thumb and
So I've been doing that, and that's really been it. I've just been jumping between that and just like last week, Grand Theft Auto 4 here and there.
Oh, nice. Are you going to get the WoW dongle account? Super.
You know,
security?
I would, but dongle. I don't want to walk around in public and try and find dates with it like you guys were talking about, so... Yeah.
You can ask people if they want to touch your dongle.
I don't understand why. That's a totally wholesome way to meet somebody with similar interests.
Just wear it
around
your neck.
Kristen, what have you been playing lately?
Well, I've been traveling a lot, so mostly just little stuff like Audio Surf here and there. I really like Audio Surf. I was a little late to that party.
Oh, I was too. It took me a while to pick it up.
It's way fun. So, and it's just, like, it's the perfect sort of like, oh, I have 15 minutes and I want to do something that isn't, you know, typing at the computer. So,
yeah, you had very unhappy eyes when you had jet lag.
Yeah, I was really...
It was sad eyes, very sad
really
eyes.
Wiped. I was really wiped out. But, I'm looking forward to now being, after E3, to being in town for a little while. And I still haven't a chance to play Grid, which is sitting here on my desk. That's the next thing I really play.
Yeah, to get on that.
I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah.
Let me just say, like, Codemasters, they've got that balance between arcade and simulation down so well with Dirt and Grid. Like, it's pretty impressive. I really like it.
I'm excited to play that. So it's sitting right here on my desk waiting for me to have time to play it. So
Evan, we've heard that it's actually better. I mean, from a big fan of racing games, we've heard that it's better on a gamepad than a wheel. What do you think?
I mean, it just comes down to what you prefer, the sensitivity, and of course, like, just how the game works. I mean, in Grid, for example, it's a little forgiving, and there's also like that flashback feature where you can sort of go back to the future style and come back a few seconds if you wreck your car in the last lap. But I don't know. I usually prefer gamepad. It's tighter.
I always play racing games with a gamepad.
Yeah.
Mr. Stapleton, what have you been playing lately?
Well, I played a little bit of Grid a couple of weeks ago, and I think I actually, like, I was playing with both, you know, alternating the gamepad and the keyboard just to see which was a little bit better. I think I found it a little bit easier with the gamepad, but I got a faster time on the keyboard. Maybe I was just more persistent on there. Mm-hmm. But more recently, what the hell have I been playing? I played some. I was going very slowly through Stalker. I played.
You did a lot of previews this month.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of like new stuff, so I haven't had too much time to play old stuff, which is kind of annoying. But now that Evan's here, my workload should lighten up a little bit in another couple of weeks when he officially starts anyway.
Hey, let me just say also, guys, we're gonna go try monthly now that I'm here. So prepare.
Nice. Nice. Mr. Bauman, what's going on? What have you been playing?
I played through a little bit of Crysis. I've been going back through that on Delta. And then I sat down one night and played through Portal again. That was fun. And
how far into Crysis on Delta are you?
I'm at the part where right before you get to the excavation site and it turns to nighttime and then the helicopter chases you. Like right before that.
Yeah, it's hard. They are not messing around.
No, but it's fun. Like I love that game. I don't care what anybody says. and then I started Beyond Good and Evil, Logan. So.
Oh.
But I
from Steam.
Yeah, I didn't get too far though because I was drunk and I couldn't figure out how to get past the first part.
Careful, Andy. You're going to get banned in Australia.
I want to strongly recommend that if you want to get into Beyond Good and Evil, to do it through Steam, because I know that there were issues with the boxed copies. So if you buy them on eBay, it had a problem with some processors, multi-threading. It was kind of a long story, but you can find a patch in the internet. But I just think Steam, it's probably going to be easier.
It's also on GameTap.
And sober.
Oh, and GameTap, yes. And
yeah,
sober.
Don't drink wine before.
But beer is fine, though, right?
Were you barfy?
No, I was just, you know.
Or just stupid.
Yeah.
It's one of my all-time favorites. And so if you haven't played it, well, now's your chance.
It's
$10, people.
It still looks
wine
gorgeous,
wine is also
too.
One of Logan's all-time favorites.
Yes, absolutely. We've come to the end of our podcast, and now it's your turn.
I have actually one thing I want to throw out there first. Sorry.
We've not come to the end of our podcast, and now it's Christian's turn.
Rewind, Logan, would you? Thank you. I just want to encourage people to please check out the Showdown LAN website. It's this year's showdowns are coming up, and we really want to see you guys there. There's going to be editors. I'm not sure who's going to which events yet, but the three events are in Worcester, Mass, September 5th through 7th, here in San Mateo, California, from September 19th through 21st, and then we're playing Peoria.
Yeah,
Illinois. September 26th through 28th. So definitely visit showdownland.com, but it's the PC Gamer and Maximum PC 500-man LAN parties. They're really fun. The last 2 years, we've had a blast. We're thrilled that we're getting to do them in more than one place this year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's a great place to, you know, if you're a highly competitive gamer, you'll definitely find stuff there to do. There's bracketed tournaments and stuff, but actually we want to make sure to encourage people who are more like weekend warriors. There's going to be a place for you there too, so don't not come because you think you can't compete, because there'll definitely be an opportunity for everybody.
My favorite is the rig tour. Oh,
this is so fun. Yeah, we do a coolest rig contest. There's tons of like giveaways. There's, you know, last year we got everybody got a first chance to do a hands-on with Left 4 Dead. So there's always just like really neat stuff that pops up, and you know, we go and hang out with everybody. We were going to do a podcast from there last year. We didn't get a chance to, but maybe we'll do
that this year. Hook it up.
Yeah. So it's great fun. And the coolest thing about it is we just loved getting to go and hang out with so many readers of the magazine. It was great. And everybody seemed to be really enjoying like hanging out with like-minded folks. So
it was really cool.
Talk. Yeah. Showdown.
I just enjoyed hanging out.
I did too. It was really fun. So
yeah.
Okay, now we can end the podcast. Thank you.
End of our podcast. Oh, Well, we've come to the end of our podcast, and now it's your turn. Send your questions to us in MP3 format to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. That's PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com, or just call us toll-free at 877-404-1337 at extension 724, and record your question there, and remember to keep it brief and light on the language. If you have a question for Evan, put question for Evan in the subject line. Well, Evan, on behalf of the entire PC Gamer crew, we're really, really glad to have you joining us on the staff. It's a delight. And
thank you so much.
You can also empower yourself to become a part of the PC Gamer family by subscribing to PC Gamer magazine. Just head on over to www.gamesradar.com/PC. Scroll down, and on the left side of the screen, you'll see a little button that says subscribe. Click on it. For the PC Gamer podcast crew, this is Logan Decker and the Biblical Sea Monster saying thanks for listening, and we're looking forward to getting together with you all over again next week.
Ciao.
Hey, it's not better than you did last week.
Yeah.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I've been working out. No, I don't know. I'm just
All right.
Okay, today's the 10th, right?
How's my sound of the day?
Hey.
It's a little low.
Did you just burp into the microphone?
I know. That was Dan.
Oh, sure it was. Normally, I'm all for taking credit for a belch, but
it's
going
to be that
today.
Kind of podcast.
I didn't see it coming. I swear to God, it was a quinoa talking.
Yeah, Kristen, I think you need to move your mic a little bit further back.
A rock legend.
Yes. Which is an excellent segue into the first story.
Absolutely. So it is.
I just thought I'd call attention to that.
What's the first story? What was it?
Kristen?
Well, now I don't know what you're talking about now either.
Yeah, Ride to Hell, right?
Yeah.
Is it Ride to Hell?
Oh, thank you.
Well, no, that's not really a rock thing. That's like a Easy Rider thing.
Right.
Well,
that's...
Oh, you youngins. You young whippersnappers.
Just head on over to PCGamer.com.
Wrong.
Awesome.
You know, it's a stupid. Okay, I'm going to change it.
It's hard to talk and think at the same time. Like,
it is.
No,
it
I
is.
Hate it. Yeah, I can't do that.
It sucks when you start thinking about what you're going to say, and then you just.
I think we should change our URL to PCGamer.com.
.com.
Wow.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to come out, and we should do a live podcast. That would be so fun.
Dude, yes. I should go, too. Sorry.
Yeah, dude.
I'm trying to plan a weekend to go down and hang out there, because I really miss you guys and just, like, my old neighbors and stuff. I just want to go down for a weekend or something and say hi. And I've just been, like, thinking about it.
I've already requested the dates off.
Woo-hoo. Oh, excellent.
What weekend is it?
The one here is, I believe, the 20th and 21st of September.
Yeah.